This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature Health and Healing and our segment on the Jubilee of Hope. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis based his catechesis for Wednesday's general audience on Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, as narrated in St. Luke's Gospel. In the text of the reflection published by the Holy See Press Office, as he continues his convalescence, the Pope urged the faithful to learn from Zacchaeus not to lose hope and to nurture our desire to see Jesus even when we feel we have been cast aside or are incapable of change. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Zacchaeus, in a sense, the Pope suggests, had lost his way. Perhaps he made wrong choices, or maybe life placed him in situations from which he struggled to escape. When he heard Jesus passing through the church, the Holy Father recalled in his prepared catechesis, Zacchaeus had the desire to see him. Despite limitations, given his great desire, the Pope noted, he did not give up. With such desire, the Pope said, you find a solution. However, it requires courage, not worrying too much about one's image. This, he said, is what Zacchaeus did. Like a child, he climbed a tree. Yet, with the Lord, he continued, the unexpected always happens. Jesus, upon reaching the spot, looks up. Zacchaeus feels exposed and probably expected a public rebuke. The crowd the Pope recognized might have hoped for the same, but they were left disappointed. For Jesus, the Pope recalled, asked Zacchaeus to come down immediately, almost surprised to find him in the tree, and said, today I must stay at your house. God, the Holy Father marveled, cannot pass by without seeking out those who are lost, pointing to how Luke highlighted the joy in Zacchaeus' heart. It is the joy, he said, of one who feels seen, recognized, and above all, forgiven. Jesus' gaze, he stressed, is not one of reproach but of mercy, a mercy that we sometimes struggle to accept, especially when God forgives those whom we think do not deserve it. Zacchaeus, the Holy Father recalled, was not only a man of desire but one who took concrete steps. His resolution was not vague or abstract. It started from his own history. He examined his life and identified the point from which to begin his change. In this context, Pope Francis urged, let us learn from Zacchaeus not to lose hope, even when we feel sidelined or incapable of change. Finally, Pope Francis concluded by inviting all faithful to nurture their desire to see Jesus, and, above all, to let themselves be found by the mercy of God, who always comes to seek us, no matter where we have lost our way. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
In a post on the social media platform X, echoing his catechesis on Zacchaeus, the Pope said Jesus' gaze is not one of reproach but of mercy. It is that mercy we sometimes struggle to accept, especially when God forgives those who, in our opinion, do not deserve it. The Pope ended the tweet with a link to the full text of his catechesis. This Wednesday marks the 20th anniversary of the death of Pope St. John Paul II. The Polish Pope, born Karol Joseph Wojtyła, passed away in his Vatican apartment on the 2nd of April 2005 at the age of 84. As part of events commemorating the anniversary, the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, presided over Holy Mass on Wednesday afternoon in St. Peter's Basilica. Linda Bordone reports.
In a crowded St. Peter's Basilica brimming with clergy, dignitaries and ordinary faithful, Cardinal Parolin began his homily, recalling significant moments from Pope St. John Paul II's final days, including his silent blessing from the window overlooking St. Peter's Square and the immense gathering of faithful who came to bid him farewell. He highlighted the Polish Pope's deep faith and trust in divine providence, particularly after surviving the 1981 assassination attempt. And he quoted from his own words, saying, Pope John Paul II viewed his survival as a renewed mission to serve the church and guide it into the third millennium. Then, reflecting on John Paul II's constant call to evangelization, he recalled his exhortation, "Do not be afraid. Open wide the doors for Christ." And he noted that the late Pope's invitation to put out into the deep continues to inspire Pope Francis's vision of a missionary church today.
Le sue parole continuano a ispirarci e riecheggiano in quelle del suo successore Francesco anche oggi.
Another key theme of the Vatican Secretary of State's homily was John Paul II's commitment to peace and human dignity. Cardinal Parolin recalled his unwavering opposition to war and his famous warning, "War is always a defeat for humanity." Concluding, the Cardinal prayed for the late Pope's intercession, echoing the words of Pope Benedict XVI during John Paul II's funeral.
Ci benedica, Santo Padre Giovanni Paolo II.
Bless us, Holy Father John Paul II. Bless this pilgrim church of hope, this wounded humanity in search of its dignity and vocation, that it may rediscover the mercy and love of God.
La ricchezza della misericordia e dell'amore di Dio.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
At 9 p.m. also on Wednesday, a prayer vigil will take place in St. Peter's Square to mark the anniversary. The prayer will be led by Archbishop Tadeusz Boja, President of the Polish Bishops' Conference, along with Cardinal Stanisław Dziwisz, a longtime private secretary of Pope John Paul II, who later served as Metropolitan Archbishop of Krakow from 2005 until 2016. Vatican News on Wednesday launched its Azerbaijani language edition, expanding the Dicastery for Communications multilingual service to 56. Francesca Merlo has this report.
Vatican News has expanded its multilingual service by adding Azerbaijani as of the 2nd of April, marking the 20th anniversary of St. John Paul II's death. The platform is now available in 56 languages, including Italian, Spanish, English and French sign languages. Marking the inauguration of the page, Bishop Vladimir Fekete, the Apostolic Prefect of Azerbaijan, recalled Pope John Paul II's visit to Azerbaijan in 2002. He noted his call for the small Catholic community to be a leaven in society. He also stressed the importance of reliable media in spreading the truth, fostering hope and strengthening faith. Bishop Fekete also explained that most local Catholics in Azerbaijan do not speak other languages and often rely on sources that are not always trustworthy. Now, he added, everyone will have the opportunity to read the words of the Holy Father and stay informed about the Universal Church in their own language. He also highlighted that Azerbaijan is not only spoken within the country, but by around 30 million people worldwide. The prefect of the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication, of which Vatican News is a part, described the expansion as another step in building a global communication network. He stressed that every language plays a vital role in the living structure of the church that we build day by day. With the addition of this new program, Vatican News continues in its commitment to bringing the gospel and the Pope's message to people of all backgrounds, strengthening faith and promoting unity in a world suffering from so much division. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Holy Father has appointed Father Augustin Simel Ndiaye of the clergy of Dakar as Bishop of the Diocese of St. Louis du Senegal in Senegal. The bishop-elect has been serving as rector of the Catholic University of French-speaking West Africa, or UCAO, based in Burkina Faso's capital, Ouagadougou. Father Ndiaye was born on the 2nd of January 1959 in Fadiout in Senegal. After completing his studies in philosophy and theology at the François Liberman Interdiocesan Major Seminary of Sébi Kotane in Dakar, he was ordained a priest on the 9th of April 1983. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Reports from Haiti say the number of casualties of Kenyan police peacekeepers is rising as they come under frequent attacks from Haitian gangs. At the weekend, two were seriously injured in clashes during routine patrols in and around the capital Port au Prince. Their first death happened in February, and last week they reported that another officer was missing and presumed dead. Kenya first deployed officers last June to the multinational security support mission in Haiti, which at present has about 1,000 security personnel, most of whom Kenyans. The aim of the mission is to restore security for Haiti as the country prepares for general elections scheduled for February next year. But the mission is too small to confront the violent gangs who are spread in different parts of the country. It is funded by the United States, but American new President Donald Trump has threatened to stop funding if other countries don't give their contributions. Reports from the Democratic Republic of Congo say three Americans who were convicted and sentenced to death by a military court last September for their role in a failed coup d'etat had their sentences commuted to life imprisonment on Wednesday. They were accused of leading an attack on both the presidential palace and the home of the Speaker of Parliament. The overturning of the sentences follows a recent visit of a senior American government official, Massad Boulos, to the Democratic Republic of Congo. The U.S. State Department said recently that it was in talks with the Congolese government for the release of the American nationals. Congolese President Felix Tshisekedi signed orders on Tuesday to commute the death sentences. A Belgian national who was also sentenced to death was recently transferred to Belgium on grounds that he was sick. Among those sentenced also were a Briton and a Canadian. It is not clear if they will also have their sentences commuted. A Rwandan biotech company known as Akagera Medicines has announced that its early stages of a preclinical trial of an antibiotic drug for the treatment of pulmonary tuberculosis has yielded promising results. The antibiotic under trial is known as AKJ100. Trials have been conducted in Rwanda and South Africa. The trials, according to a statement issued in Kigali, showed that the drug is effective, stable, and capable of killing resistant tuberculosis bacteria. Reports from Sudan say the National Army has successfully driven rebels of the paramilitary rapid support forces out of the capital, Khartoum. Reporters who have toured the city describe Khartoum as a burnt-out shell covered with debris and broken glass. Most of the buildings were bombed and looted. Government ministries, banks, and office blocks stand blackened and burned out. A reporter said even electrical cables in many buildings were pulled out of the walls. The international airport is a graveyard of smashed planes, and its check-in counters are covered in ashes. And now, our feature, Health and Healing. In this edition, we examine sleep deprivation, also known as sleep insufficiency, which is the condition of not having adequate sleep to support decent alertness, performance, and health. Sleep is a process that allows our bodies to rest. Our bodies need it to regenerate certain systems and to carry out certain natural processes. The amount of adequate sleep varies from one person to another, but experts in sleep medicine recommend that on average, most adults need about 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night to feel alert and well-rested. Teenagers need an average of about 9 hours of sleep per night, and children need more than 9 hours of uninterrupted nightly sleep, depending on their age. For example, newborns up to 3 months need between 14 to 17 hours of sleep. Infants from 4 to 12 months need between 12 to 16 hours of sleep. Young children from 1 to 5 years need between 10 to 14 hours of sleep,
and school-age children from 6 to 12 years need between 9 to 12 hours of sleep. Sleep deprivation is caused by a number of factors, including shift work, especially when one works at night, alcohol misuse, use of stimulants such as caffeine in evenings, high-level stress, degenerative brain disorders, acute pain in the body, mental health disorders such as anxiety, depression, and panic, sleep apnea where a person loses breath and wakes up, and some medications. When it is severe and when it happens over an extended period of time, sleep deprivation can interfere with routine activities and also affect the mental and physical health of the person. Professor Matthew Walker is a neuroscientist and psychologist based in Britain. He is also the founder and director of the Center for Human Sleep Science in California, USA. He explains what can happen when we suffer from sleep deprivation.
If you're not sleeping, one of the first things that you become deficient in is your capacity to learn. The brain is about 40% deficient in its ability to lay down new memory traces when it is underslept. We also know that you need sleep after learning, however, not just before learning, to essentially hit the save button on those new memories so that you don't forget. One of the other things that starts to go awry is your emotional stability. There's a deep structure in the brain called the amygdala, and it's the centerpiece region for the sort of generation of strong emotional impulsive reactions. The reason that you typically are not impulsive and you're emotionally rational is because another part of your brain called the prefrontal cortex, which sits above your eyes, keeps our emotional brain in check. But when you're sleep deprived, the first part of the brain to take a nosedive like a dart into the ground is your prefrontal cortex, which unleashes your emotional brain. You are not only sort of more negative in terms of your responses, you're also much more likely to be more reward seeking and more sensation seeking. So the emotional distance within which you travel when you are sleep deprived is vastly larger. You become more emotionally irrational as well upstairs in the brain. We now know that insufficient sleep is probably one of the most significant lifestyle factors determining whether you will develop Alzheimer's. The reason is because at night, there is a cleansing system that kicks into high gear within your brain. So in your body, you have a cleaning system called the lymphatic system. Well, in your brain, we recently discovered that you have something called the glymphatic system. And at night, it's during deep sleep when that cleansing system kicks into high gear and it washes away all of the toxic metabolic byproducts that build up during the day. One of the sticky toxic proteins that it washes away at night is a protein called beta amyloid.
Professor Matthew Walker, a neuroscientist and a psychologist. Sleep deprivation is preventable. Sleep experts recommend that if people be consistent in the time when they go to sleep, that we limit the time we spend under bright lights and for using electronics because they disrupt the body's natural sleep and wake-up functions, that we avoid drinking alcohol or eating meals too close to bedtime, that we avoid taking sleeping pills because excessive use negatively affects sleep. They recommend also that we do physical exercises because they relax the body and help us to rest well. And with that, we come to the end of this week's edition of Health and Healing. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello, It's another segment of our weekly program, Pilgrims of Hope. And I'm glad to welcome you once again as we journey together anchored in Christ, our only hope. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm here once again to bring you updates on the events of the ongoing Jubilee year of 2025. Being pilgrims of hope entails not only building up our hope in Christ, but also becoming disciples of mercy, so that the light of hope may shine on all by their experience of God's love and mercy through us. Hence, it is not out of place that the 28th to 30th of March 2025 was mapped out for the celebration of the Jubilee of Missionaries of Mercy. Who are these Missionaries of Mercy? By the virtue of our Christian vocation, we all are called to live and preach mercy. But in a special way, there are few selected by the Holy Father, Pope Francis, to go deeper in carrying out this work of mercy. We would recall that the Holy Father, during the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy in the year 2016, instituted the Missionaries of Mercy, commissioning priests from various dioceses around the world who would be a living sign of the Father's welcome to all those in search of his forgiveness through hearing of confessions of penitents, especially those who feel trapped by sin and alienated from the Church. They must be welcoming, loving, and compassionate confessors, mostly attentive to the difficult situations of each person. The Jubilee of the Missionaries of Mercy began on Friday, 28th March 2025, with the arrival of the members, after which they commenced a training session on putting the sacrament of reconciliation at the center of the pastoral life of the Church. In the evening of the same day, they had the celebration of 24 hours for the Lord at the Basilica of St. Andrews de la Valle, Rome. On Saturday, 29th March, they made a pilgrimage to the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica and concluded with the Holy Rosary. The event came to a conclusion on Sunday, 30th March, 2025, with a Holy Mass at the Basilica of St. Andrew and a concert at the evening of the same day. In his message to the group, the Holy Father Pope Francis, through Archbishop Rino Fisichella, the pro-prefect of the Dicastery for the Evangelization, expressed his inability to join the celebration, even though he wished to. He expressed his gratitude and encouragement to them as he urged them to bear witness to the paternal face of the Father, infinitely great in love, who calls everyone to conversion and constantly renews us with his forgiveness. He went ahead to urge them to be attentive and listening, ready in welcoming and steadfast in accompanying those who wish to return to the Lord, as God's forgiveness is a source of hope. He entrusted them into the hands of the Immaculate Mary, Mother of Mercy, and he also appealed to them not to forget to pray for him. To mark the Jubilee of the Missionaries of Mercy, the Diocese of Prato, Italy, together with the city of Prato and the several textile companies there, donated 1,500 stoles to the group in celebration of the Jubilee of the Missionaries of Mercy. One of our correspondents from the Vatican Radio, Thaddeus Jones, had an interview with one of the members, Father Oselski, from the United States.
Tell me a bit about how you see this Jubilee as Missionaries of Mercy. What does it mean for you personally?
I think that one of the keys for me is the connection between the institution of the Missionaries of Mercy during the Jubilee Year of Mercy and now the ordinary Jubilee being a Jubilee of Hope. Without mercy, there is no hope. And so I see a direct connection between the powers that the Pope has entrusted to Missionaries of Mercy to be able to bring hope into the lives of people who felt trapped by sin, and in our role as missionaries of that mercy of God, to be able to provide that hope and look to a future which is filled with expectation rather than dread. Pope Francis, in that first encounter with him, addressed us as to how we should be the face of Jesus. And he gave some very practical pointers. Body language. Make sure you don't react. Make sure that it's a welcoming place. Be present, waiting for Jesus. And it was little insights like that, which obviously come from the spirituality of Francis himself, that I think gave a mindset as to not so much what we can do, but rather who we can be. And I think one of the major emphases that I particularly appreciate is this sense of being an attitude of listening not just to the voice, but listening to the soul and trying to discover ways in which the mercy of Jesus can enter into the life of this person.
Thank you so much, Thaddeus Jones, for allowing us to share in the testimony of a member of the Missionaries of Mercy. Thank you, dear listeners, for always being part of our program and as we continue to journey in hope towards Christ and also make His mercy known to all. I hope to be here once again with you at the same time next week. I am your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us springs of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature Culture and Society and our Bulletin for Young People. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.